And that is the lie that the enemy has fed to women for generations. Stay hidden and stay safe. You are not a reflection of what you've been through. I want to remind you, you lack nothing. Well, welcome to Braveheart Talks. I'm grateful that you've taken the time just to tune in on this conversation today, which I believe is going to be insightful and helpful to you, because I'm going to talk around a subject that I think affects every single one of us from time to time. And the subject is the invisible woman. The invisible woman is a Marvel character. I raised three boys, so Marvel was a go-to in our house. She gained her superpowers by being struck by a cosmic storm. Sue Richards was just an ordinary, everyday kind of girl when she encountered an unusual storm, which left her with the power to be able to turn herself invisible. And I began to wonder how many women listening today could say about themselves, I too have been through some sort of storm in my life, and because of what I've experienced, I now feel invisible. The word invisible means unseen, unnoticed, undetected. The perfect storm can cause you to become invisible, and your storm might be different from my storm. The perfect storm can be an argument that you've had. The perfect storm can be the divorce. The perfect storm was the rejection or the abuse that you occurred. You can become invisible when you live in feelings, because your feelings are invisible. You cannot see a broken heart. You cannot see embarrassment. You cannot see inferiority or disappointment or hurt feelings. So if the enemy can get you to embrace the way you feel because of what you've been through, you will do life from a place of invisibility. And when you are invisible, you are insignificant, for what is not seen cannot be noticed. When one unfortunate thing leads to another, it generates the environment for the perfect storm. You lose your identity, you can lose your confidence, and in their replacement, there is the power of invisibility. And so many women accept the gift of invisibility once they've been through a storm. For one who is not seen cannot be hurt again. And so you choose to exist in a realm of unnoticed. Oh, you're still the woman. You're still serving the family, cooking the meals, picking up the laundry, paying the bills, doing the chores. You're existing and functioning, but you're not really living because you choose to remain under the radar of noticed. And you live your life like this because you know, the minute I have a dream, the minute I have an idea, the minute I want to share it with somebody, the minute I desire to better myself or reinvent myself, like lose the weight or go for the job or date the guy or step up, step in, step out, do the ministry, do the thing, follow the calling, chase the dream. The minute I choose to do something, then I'm open to criticism and rejection, and life is just easier when I'm unseen. And that is the lie that the enemy has fed to women for generations. Stay hidden and stay safe. We've allowed ourselves to be defined by a lie. And God wants to put the record straight for us today. I really believe that. You are not what your body says about you. You are not how the guy treated you. You are not a reflection of what you've been through. Though the storm in life may have raged around you and caused some damage to you, and maybe you have lost your confidence, maybe you have lost a relationship, or you may have even lost your faith. When insecurity came in, an exchange took place, and you gave up on the life of possibilities for a life of invisibility. And as I study through my Bible, I've become aware that even throughout scripture, there were countless invisible women. The woman that Jesus encountered at the well of Samaria, for example, she sneaked over to the well in the heat of the midday sun so as not to be seen by anyone, for she was morally unclean. And then there's the woman with the issue of blood who pushed through the crowd from behind so that she was not seen, for she was deemed physically unclean. Other women in the Bible, such as Tamar, who was King David's daughter, she was raped by her half-brother, and the scripture says about her that she lived the rest of her days as a desolate woman. That word desolate means barren, empty, lonely. And then there's Leah. She's another invisible woman in the Bible. The storm that she was catapulted into from an early childhood was one of comparison. Leah and her sister Rachel were close in age, only Rachel was classed as the good-looking one and Leah was the less than fortunate one. Their story can be found in Genesis 29, and this is how the Bible describes them in verse 17. It says that Leah's eyes were dull, but Rachel had a beautiful figure and a lovely face. Imagine. I mean, if that's how the Bible describes these girls, we can only presume that that's how they were known by their community also. Oh, we don't get any more detail about the way Leah looked other than the information we have about her eyes being faulty. But the fact that the Bible describes Rachel as having the beautiful figure and the beautiful face, we can only assume that it's insinuating Leah did not. I don't know if anybody has ever referred to you according to the negative that they see about you. You know, like referring to your flaw. It might be a speech impediment. It might be the way you walk, the size of your body, the mole on your face. Imagine hearing that said about you, but then imagine how you would feel if you were constantly compared to somebody else. Well, this has been Leah's life for years. Her sister Rachel had got the attention from the boys. Rachel got invited to the parties. Rachel was pretty. Rachel was popular. And Leah, well, she was the invisible sister, unseen, unnoticed, and unknown. Many will be familiar with the story of Leah and Rachel and their tangled relationship and their marriage to Jacob, for Jacob loved Rachel and he wanted to marry Rachel. And so there was a great big wedding feast, but Rachel's father, Laban, led his daughter Leah into Jacob's tent instead of Rachel. He thought the only way to marry Leah off was to pretend she was someone else. And that night, Jacob slept with her without knowing he was sleeping with the wrong woman. That's how invisible Leah was. I don't know how Leah was feeling, knowing that she could only be valued by a man by pretending to be someone else. For she knew that if he'd seen her, he would have rejected her. And I honestly think many can relate to Leah today. You, the invisible woman, you've spent your whole life comparing other people's trophies to your insecurities, and you've never come to terms with who God made you to be. So you spend your time trying to walk like her, trying to be like her, talk like her, get a career like her, have a marriage like hers, trying to impersonate her, whoever her might be to you. If you know the story, you know that Jacob goes on to marry Rachel as well. So now poor Leah has to share a husband with the sister who she's been compared to all of her life. Within every woman, there are areas of invisibility, and usually it's in the area where you most desire to be noticed. It's when you can't have what you want, you feel invisible. We desire as women to be seen, to be appreciated. We desire to be valued. We desire to be loved. We desire to be heard. That desire is telling you that you're incomplete, and we feast off the lie it feeds us. If only I had what she had, I would be different. If I looked like she looked, I would feel different. And we spend the precious years of our life drowning in tears, competing and comparing. We could disappear and then reappear as someone else other than myself. And it's important for you to know that God sees you, and what God sees may go unnoticed by others. There's a beautiful scripture in Genesis 29, and it simply says this. It says, when God saw that Leah was not loved, he opened up her womb. You see, Leah was the one who got pregnant, and something new began to grow on the inside of her. And she who once carried private pain now begins to carry new life. It says about Leah that she bore a son and she named him Reuben, and she said, the Lord has seen my misery. Surely now my husband will love me. The text tells us that Leah bore more and more sons, but Rachel remained barren. You see, in Leah's eyes, Rachel had it all, for she had everything that Leah did not have. But in Rachel's eyes, Leah had it all because she had the one thing she did not have. And so it is. The greatest weapon that the enemy uses on women is that we look at each other with envy, constantly looking at our sister and thinking, if only I had what she had, then my life would be complete. Your life may look different to your sister's, but that does not mean you're lacking. I want to remind you, you can be a single woman and you can be complete and satisfied because you were made in the image of God, not lacking anything. God created Adam and Eve in Genesis 1. He created them male and female and blessed them. He did not say that Eve was completed or blessed when she was united with Adam. He blessed her on her own, by herself. You can have the man, the house, the dog, the children, the career, the money, the looks, the waist size, and still feel empty because people and assets do not complete you. Only God does. Our text says about Leah that she had weak eyes. Weak eyes can sometimes mean blurred vision. Blurred vision is when you don't see clearly. Leah was not looking at her life clearly. She was not looking for her identity or her affirmation from God. She was looking for it in the wrong places and it blurred her vision. You know, when you have blurred vision, when something doesn't turn out to be the way you thought it ought to be, that's what blurred vision is. It's like, I thought it was going to be one way and it turned out to be different. I thought it would be different when I moved to this area, but it wasn't. I thought it would be different once I have kids, but it wasn't. I thought it would be different once they grow up, but it's not. My vision is blurred because I thought about how it really was, but in reality, it is not. Leah's vision was blurred because she thought that having babies would fix her marriage. She thought that having his child would cause her husband to desire her. And we see women living like this today. If I could just lose the weight, maybe he would fancy me. If we had a baby together, maybe he'll stay with me. If I just give up my career so that I'm at home every day, then he'll be happy with me. And we have to learn from this story because throughout the whole of Leah's story, she was craving to be noticed, longing to feel worthy of love. And in her obsession for what was lacking in her life, she could not see what God was giving to her. And we too can become so focused on the thing that we don't have that we end up missing out on the things that we do have. We don't recognize how he's blessed us because we can be so busy looking at somebody else's life that we're missing out on living our own life. You may not have had a great role model as a mother, but you know what? You can be a great mother and you can be a great role model. You may feel that your marriage is loveless, but you can put the love back in that marriage. You may feel that you're lacking in friendship, but you can go and be the friend to someone. Your life is valuable. You are precious. And I want to remind you, you lack nothing. And you, my friend, have everything to live for. So go and live your best life. Stop looking to the left. Stop looking to the right. Stop looking at what everybody else has and what you feel you're lacking in. Stop living life unnoticed. Be brave. Step up. Step out, allow yourself to be seen, be the lover, be the friend, be the companion, be who you need to be. And I believe that God will supply your every need according to his riches in glory. I hope this podcast has helped you today, strengthened you, and helped you to see you a little bit differently. Until next time on Braveheart Talks, see you then.